Good morning and welcome back. It is 35 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with you as we wake up together. If you're a mom or dad, are your kids getting enough free playtime? Author and mommy blogger Arlene Pelicane says, in this day and age, probably not. Good morning, Arlene.
Good morning. It's kind of a funny question to ask, isn't it?
It is, but it's...
It's kind of like, are your fish swimming, you know?
Well, you know, and I have my Legos out personally because, you know, I want to make sure I get the playtime I need. But you had an experience recently when you were talking, I think, to your cousin about kids and playtime. And what was the challenge that she was having with her own daughter?
Yeah, it was funny. I have a sixth grader. My cousin has a sixth grader. We were together over the Easter holiday. And, you know, our kids were being goofy. They're playing. They're doing all these things. There are no screens, you know, et cetera. And she said, you know, I have not been able to find a friend for my daughter who doesn't use screens. She says it's so hard to find a kid, sixth grade kid, who still likes to just play, who just wants to run around, you know, run around on scooters or play imaginary games or take stuffed animals out and pretend they're doing things, you know, whatever the case may be. And she said it's so hard, she says, because after a few minutes, what inevitably happens is the phones get taken out and they start watching videos or they start doing things, you know, whether it's, you know, doing little games or whatever it is. And so she said it's so difficult to find someone who just wants to play. And I thought, you know, what a sad statement that in sixth grade, and I'm sure many of you who are listening can relate to this, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, that you think, yeah, they're not really, they don't play very much. They're more like sitting and they're more texting and they're playing video games and they're watching TV. And this is a problem. And if you scale that back even further, third grade, first grade, preschoolers, that you've got to remember, I have to actually remember to say, go play outside instead of, you know, what it used to be, go to your room.
Well, and part of that means taking away the device. You are the mom or dad. You have that right. You probably purchased it. And you can say, it's time to give me the device right now. Yeah. And it's time to go outside. Unstructured play is so important for a child's development. We know that from the research, and that's without electronic distractions. I'm not talking about, you know, going out and playing in the backyard with a device in both hands.
Right.
That's not...
It kind of defeats the purpose. Don't do that.
It really does. And yet so many kids in America are really hardly getting any playtime, and certainly very little physical activity. In addition to what you notice with your cousin, obviously, you know, you speak to a lot of moms around the country. What are you hearing from other parents about this issue?
You know, and then they also, parents will say, but my kid will come back to me and they'll say, but mom, dad, I don't know what to do. You know, and that's,
oh, yeah.
You hear that over and over. I don't know what to do. I'm bored. Tell me what to do. And that's actually also the advantage of, if your child is able to play by themselves and they're used to that, guess what? They rely on themselves. They figure out, oh, let's play this. Let's imagine this. Let's role play this. And they don't have to ask you about every single decision and what that turns into. You know, a child who, I remember setting up store. You know, I was an only child, so I didn't have that many kids to play with all the time. I remember setting up store in my mom and dad's master bedroom, and I put out all these little items, and I'd get out a little pretend cash register. And for some reason, I thought the name Laura Montgomery sounded really cool, so I was always Laura Montgomery. And I'd pretend to tend to store. And what does that help me do later when I'm an adult? Well, I don't tend to store very well, but it helps you to realize, oh, this is how you might run a business, or this is how you might interact with customers. And you're learning that all by yourself, you know. And I think kids today, since we as parents, we are too involved. We say, play this for 10 minutes. Now play this for another 3 minutes. Now we're going to soccer. Now we're going to, you know, eat. And now we're going to watch TV for 2 hours. And now you're going to sleep. And our children are not used to making any decisions for themselves. And they turn into adults that look around and say, like, what am I supposed to do now? And you want children who grow up into adults who say, I know what to do with this time. I've got a million ideas, you know, of what to do with this time, that are creative, imaginative. So it's really important that we don't get our fingers in it as parents. We still want to, the helicopter parent, we want to make sure everything is managed. and to be able to say, you know what? I don't care what you do. Just don't get yourself in trouble and come back in an hour, you know. And obviously you're doing that in a safe way. But many times we are the ones that are too involved.
You know, Arlene, I can't help but think back to when I was a kid and my brother and I would go out for hours after school or on the weekends. And we would be playing in the neighborhood, going out with our buddies, taking bike rides, going down to our elementary school, shooting hoops. And then my grandparents had this big acre piece of property, which had all these, you know, fun places to hide in, hedges. And they grew all these different vegetables and fruits. We would climb their apple tree and make all these crazy inventions. I have a picture of me. I think I'm about 12 years old, and somehow I've invented this device where I've done this like pulley system, and I'm hanging from an apple tree sitting in a kitchen chair with a rope tied to the kitchen chair. And, you know, it's because I didn't have, first of all, I didn't have screens to go to, except, you know, in the evening we would probably go and watch Gilligan's Island or whatever, but I'm really dating myself. But my day was not planned out for me, and that was not a bad thing. Besides screens, the other issue, and you touched on this, is the danger of getting our kids overcommitted in too many activities. And I'm just going to let you sound off on this because I know it's a concern for you as well.
Yeah, it's so difficult. You have many children. They want to do many sports, lots of activities. You feel like, oh, I'm a bad parent if they're not in ballet and they're not in chess club and they're not in soccer and they're not in baseball.
And don't forget Suzuki violin. Let's not forget the Suzuki violin lessons. Come on.
Exactly. So many times you're running around and it is a constant battle and struggle. So you really have to ask yourself, okay, is this worth it? You know, are we having family meal times together? Are my children and I so stressed out going all these places? Is there something that we can cut out? For most American families, it's the question of what's the activity we're going to cut out instead of, oh, what should we add to my child's plate? So it is okay. You know, for our family, we have three kids. So we've decided one instrument. So they all play the piano so that when I go to the piano teacher's house, they all do the same thing. We all do the same sporting activity, which is martial arts, and that's it. And then we go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. And believe me, it is enough, you know. So that is the choice that we have said, this is what you're going to do because this will make life simpler if we all do the same thing. Now, as they get older, they're all...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They're all in elementary school. And as they get older, you know, that may become more challenging as they have these different interests. And at that time, we'll have to reevaluate and say, okay, what's best for this child? What's best for our family? Let's talk about it. But don't just say yes because, oh, that's what everyone else is doing. And everybody else has got their kid in baseball and soccer and football. So I should do that too. But to think, wait a minute, what's going to be best for our family?
Do you ever feel pressure from other moms in particular when they're kind of asking, well, why doesn't your kid do this? Or, gosh, my kids are doing this. And do you ever feel that sense of, gosh, am I depriving my child of this wonderful enrichment activity or this particular sport or hobby? Or have you been able to kind of just, close your ears to those critical voices and say, no, we've made this decision in our family. I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah, there was a woman who was telling me at the school, if we wanted, at a certain school, they were having free music lessons, like free guitar, free violin, free this. And she was like, it's fabulous. And then you play in the symphony hall and the parents come watch, you know. And I remember my ears kind of perking up at that, like, wow, that sounds really neat. But then I realized, when would we even do that? And then it was a very easy thing to say to her, well, that's really nice. That sounds lovely for your child. It is not going to work in our schedule. Mm. And so I think if you have those values of these are the things we're interested in, and yes, my children are getting, they have the physical activity, they're learning the certain thing I want them to learn, but obviously not to overdo it. And then it becomes easier to say, our schedule, we cannot handle that. And I think if you stand firm in that, it will be so much easier for you to determine what are the yeses and what are the noes in your family schedule.
The American Academy of Pediatrics actually has some recommendations for parents on playtime for kids. What do they say, Arlene?
Yeah, isn't it interesting? You would think that this would come naturally, but they've got to tell us these things because we're not doing them very well. But they recommend ample, unscheduled, independent, non-screen time to be creative, to reflect, and to decompress. And so they're saying, you know, kids, they've got to get that steam off. You know, they've got to go run around. They've got to go play, which makes a lot of sense. But in many schools, you know, there's not as much time for recess. Or, you know, I know at our school, the kids are not supposed to play tag they're not supposed to play tag at all, actually, because they say kids will get hurt, that, you know, someone will fall down or this. So they're discouraged from running on the blacktop. You know, and my husband will hear that and he'll think, oh my goodness, I remember, of course, going to school and always running around on the blacktop. That's the thing we did. And so, you know, lots of times you'll hear people like we're saying, oh, remember when we ran around? Remember when we went for hours? But, you know, this isn't just this nostalgic thing where parents are reminiscing. This is really this idea of, wait a minute, something's wrong. Like something is wrong when children are not playing. I remember a kindergarten teacher who had taught for 35 years. She was retired, and she told me, Arlene, the most alarming thing that I saw, because I asked her what's different, you know, now than 20 years ago, is that these kindergartners, five-year-olds, six-year-olds, go out to recess, and she said they look at the little playground structure, and they just stand there, and they don't know how to interact with each other. They don't know how to talk to each other, like, you go first, or I'm after you, or let's play chase. You know, they don't know. She said they just stand at and look at each other, because they're not used to not being directed, what do you do here? And she said it was so alarming, like you know, what are kids that can't play? That's like fish who can't swim. Mm-hmm. And so the American Academy of Pediatrics is saying that, you know, that parents can monitor play, sure, make sure everything's okay, but then take your hands off and then make it directed by children, make it not, you know, the absence of screens, and then use true toys, things like blocks and dolls, things like that, so that kids are actually being very creative instead of, you know, a game where they're just sitting there watching the game or, you know, all the instructions are there for them, but have this free creative time where, like, we just did a little moving project. So we had a big cardboard box in the house, and my six-year-old and my nine-year-old thought it would be hysterical to play kind of magician in it. And so we came down to breakfast yesterday, and we were like, oh, where's Lucy? You know, we're all playing along. Where's Lucy? And there's this big box by the table. And Noelle, my nine-year-old, goes, ladies and gentlemen, you know, and it was just this big to-do, and it was this magic trick, and Lucy came out prematurely, and it was all very funny. So I thought, you know, this is what kids do. They play games, and they find little things around the house, and they do things with them. And so really encourage that with your children. And the screens make those true toys, like blocks and dolls, Legos, et cetera, make them very boring because they can't compete with the excitement of the screen. So that's a very important reason of why you should limit those screens. So when a child does see a doll, does see a stuffed animal, does see, you know, paper and pens, they get excited about it.
Now, you and Gary Chapman wrote a book on kids and screen time, and I'm wondering, have you, since you wrote that book and started doing the research, have you set new limits on screen time in your own home?
Yeah, the book is Growing Up Social, Raising Relational Kids in a Screen-Driven World. We've maintained many of the same rules. We don't have, our huge rule is no video games in the house. So that if our children want to play video games, they can go to the Apple Store for that. So they get excited about going to the Apple Store. But it is the culture of the house that we don't play video games. And to be honest, that's a huge thing. Because then I don't have to battle, put that away, put that away, put that away. And we just say, there are other things we'd rather do with our time. Now, I know that may sound like kind of crazy to you, far gone, because, you know, what in the world. But I say that, though, to say that these things are possible, and they're much easier if you start very young. So from when they were, you know, born on, it was like, we don't play video games. So that's the culture of the house. And what it means is that my 11-year-old boy doesn't play Minecraft, but he reads. And it's really cool. He's really into World War II. And so you can build that culture in your house. Now, I understand for many people, it's like, that's kind of crazy. And so that means, okay, let's do our video games on the weekend and not do it on weeknights. So I think the research has actually kind of strengthened what we had already resolved to do.
And yet, unfortunately, a lot of parents are unaware of the research or unwilling to set limits or boundaries on their kids when it comes to screen time. I mentioned earlier this hour, the American Academy of Pediatrics has their recommendation of no more than 2 hours of screen time a day, and that should be high-quality screen time, which I think what they're saying by that is it should be educational in some way, not just mindless Angry Birds or whatever it might be. How can moms and dads maybe find some creative ways to get their kids unplugged from their devices and involved in physical activity and creative playtime?
Yeah. And I think look at the interests of your child, look at the ages of your children, whether it's girls with hula hoops outside, whether it's boys in the backyard and saying, you know, go build something. Here's cardboard boxes. Here's tape. Here's a chair. You can use your pulley system to get yourself in an apple tree as you did, Phil. So, you know, and so looking at them and saying, what could they go do, you know, get rollerblades for a gift for them and so that they learn how to skate. Whatever it is, look at their interests, what they like to do. My one daughter loves to draw, so it would be telling girls and even boys who love to draw, you know, this afternoon we're doing a drawing contest and then we're going to have an auction and the parents are going to buy your creations for a quarter, you know, or whatever. Bidding starts at a quarter. Just kind of think of ways to get them to do something outside of what they normally do. It could be baking cookies in the kitchen. It could be learning how to cook a meal. It can be getting bikes out, you know, all these different things. Scavenger hunt outside. You know, it's this whole idea of we as parents, sometimes we're afraid, like, oh, the world is such a scary place. Don't send them outside. Where you look at it and you go, you know what? Our block is, you know, nothing's really happened here for the last 50 years. go outside to our block and come back in an hour. And that's okay. We've got walkie-talkies that the kids will use when they rollerblade around the neighborhood. So that's worked well for us. So we can say, okay, you know, 10 minutes, come on home. Where are you? You know, we kind of set boundaries. Don't cross this big street. Don't cross this big street. And then otherwise have a good time.
Some great advice. Arlene Pelican, you can find out more about her and her books at Arlene Pelican, P-E-L-L-I-C-A-N-E, just like it sounds, pelican.com. Arlene, thanks for your time, and we appreciate you and your commitment to helping parents be more effective and loving in their children's lives.
Thanks, Phil. Go out and play today.
All right. I will. I got my Legos right here. 56 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network.